Turn your phone off, Tony.
Don't they know? Don't I know I'm recording? Don't they know that I'm recording episode 56 of TH Fantasy with my good friend Ryan? Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome, Craig. This is Craig's episode here. 56.
Episode 56. We've got 56. We've got ads this week. We're going to start making some money off the old fantasy game for the first time since our bets all sucked last week.
Our super flex really shit the bed. And it looked kind of good at the time.
It did.
But I was surprised it didn't cash.
You know, sometimes it is what it is. You can't rush perfection. We got 7th place and then like 17th place 2 weeks ago. So I'll take a loss every once in a while because our process is good.
That is true. That is true.
All right. So episode 56, we each got a guy. We're going to remember a guy first and foremost. Ryan, why don't you start off with your 56?
Sure. So this week we're going international.
Ooh, okay.
Okay. So we've got a player this week that was born in Guatemala.
Whoa.
Yes. We have Mr. Ted Hendricks, famous linebacker for the Colts and the Raiders and who else?
Wait, Ted Hendricks was born in Guatemala?
That is correct. Ted Hendricks is from Guatemala. He actually was awarded the Order of the Quetzal from the country of Guatemala, which is the highest award for any citizen you can receive. Or civilian, sorry.
I was going to say like the highest award that a pro football player from Guatemala could win.
Yeah, famous linebacker in the 70s and early 80s. He started his career for the NFL in 1969. He was drafted by the Colts.
Okay.
Well, like I said, he was born in Guatemala. His parents were actually employees of Pan American Airlines.
Okay.
His mother was Guatemalan. His father, I believe, was American. But anyway, he was born there. I don't know how long they lived there, but he was raised in Miami, though.
Sure.
So naturally, he went to University of Miami Hurricanes for his college. And let's see, high school and college, he played all four sports like normal, like all these guys we talk about.
Fuck yeah.
And even in college, he was a math and physics major.
Nice.
And a 3-time All-American.
Kick ass.
His nickname was the Mad Stork.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Because he was 6'7 and only 220 pounds. This is a skinny white guy.
With like giant blonde hair too.
Yeah, blondish, reddish. Yeah. It doesn't look like he's from Latin America at all.
No.
He won 4 Super Bowls.
Right.
He was elected to the Hall of Fame in 1990. And naturally, from being from Latin America, he's bilingual. He's fluent in Spanish and English. He actually has an award, the Ted Hendricks Award. It's for college football's best defensive end every year. And his charity, I don't know what they do with that award exactly, but they give it away every year.
Cool.
Let's run down some stats. He blocked 25 field goals in his career.
What?
Yeah.
Holy 25. Shit.
25.
That's nuts.
61 sacks, 26 picks, 4 safeties. Mad defensive player. He also played along in the Raiders with a number 41 we talked about, Mr. Phil Villapiano.
Oh.
He was Ted Hendricks' strong side linebacker.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. That was the one connection I made for this guy. Let's see if I missed anything. Yeah, he once had 4 sacks in a college against the University of Florida in one game.
Nice. And that must be like retroactive because sacks weren't a thing until like 82 in the NFL. I'm not sure when it was in college.
Yeah. It had to have been the late 60s,
Yeah.
But that was something back. I saw.
Yeah.
Someone probably just went back and watched a bunch of tape.
Yeah, they do that. They've like recreated. It's like archaeology, you know, they've like unearthed sack right. totals.
One last interesting thing about Ted Hendricks. I had a lot of good facts about this guy this week. He was a part of the 1970 Colts team. Guess how many rushing touchdowns they allowed that year?
So this is, I'm assuming, a 14-game season?
Oh, yeah, I would imagine. 1970.
Let's go 14 as well.
So you think that in 1970... he was part of a defense that let up 14 rushing touchdowns?
I mean, okay, six.
Two touchdowns the entire year. That's how good the defense was. I couldn't believe that when I read that. But yes, that is Mr. Ted Hendricks, the Mad Stork.
That's a good one, Ryan. I like that. Ted Hendricks. You were like, I'm going to do Ted Hendricks. And I'm like, oh, dope. And you're like, is that guy not obscure enough? And I'm like, no, he's great. And you got a bunch of cool shit that I didn't know about Ted Hendricks, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to go to my guy. We're going to hop back into the Wayback Machine again this week.
Oh, we're going back to the olden days?
Yeah, not quite.
Leather helmet?
We're around there. Okay. We're not like in Johnny Blood McNally territory, but we're going to go with Dante Lavelli. All right?
Okay.
He had two nicknames, Mr. Clutch, which is, and Glue Fingers.
Glue Fingers. I feel like I read that.
So okay. I think Glue Fingers might be like the best nickname I've ever fucking heard.
I'm guessing it wasn't because he liked to sniff glue.
No. He apparently caught everything. So
okay.
Old Glue Fingers here was born in Northeast Ohio in 1923. And spent most of its youth being great at like catching everything from like ping pong balls to baseballs and everything. Just nonstop catching off the wall, off the wall, off the wall.
Sure.
So he ends up getting a scholarship to Notre Dame and he goes there and he was talking to the fifth string running back. And he's like, this dude's as good as I am. Like, I'm going to go somewhere where I can play. So he goes to Ohio State. He was recruited when he was at Ohio State. He was recruited by the Detroit Tigers to join their minor league team as a shortstop. But he's like, nah, man, I'm going to play football. His team, like the Ohio State team, won the national championship in 42. And then he gets drafted by the Army.
Oh, no.
Be all
that you can be.
Yeah, so, you know, like, we talk about, like, football players who served and football players who got drafted and shit, but usually, like, they're not, like, they don't see a ton of combat, right?
Sure.
Well, old Glue Fingers here, not the case, all right? Lavelli was in on the storming of Omaha Beach in Nazi-occupied France.
What? And he survived?
Wait. He also fought in the Battle of the fucking Bulge, dude.
What?
Yeah. His unit had a 1 in 5 fatality rate.
Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, they were in the shit.
Yeah.
So he survives, comes back, makes the Cleveland Browns. All right. And he's catching passes from future Hall of Fame quarterback Otto Graham. He caught the game-winning touchdown in the championship game of the AAFC, which was the All-American Football Conference. And they beat the New York Yankees in the championship game.
What? Football versus baseball?
Right?
No, I'm just kidding.
The next year, they won it. Wait, that's why your comment was so good, right? So they win again the next year. The team they beat was the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Oh, my God.
So the next year he has 200 receiving yards in one game. And we're talking like this is the late 40s. I'm only mentioning that he got 200 yards in a game because the team he got it against was named the Los Angeles Dons.
The Los Angeles Dons. How have I never heard of a team name like that?
Was
it just owned by the Italian mob?
That's what I'm saying, right? So Cleveland, the franchise, joins the NFL in 1950 and immediately wins the NFL title. First year.
Okay.
In the championship, Glue Fingers caught 11 passes and scored twice.
Damn.
He did a other bunch of cool shit when he played. Like, there's one time he was running a post route. You know how, like, the goal post was, like, at the front of the end zone?
Yeah.
So he would run to it, and he'd wrap his arm around it and, like, swing back to, like, change the angle and get open like that sometimes.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But the biggest impact that old Glue Fingers had was it was in his basement where the NFL Players Association was founded.
Oh.
So there in his basement, they hatched a plan, and when it came through by the next year, players had access to medical care and a minimum salary, which is pretty fucking rad.
That's awesome.
He retired in 1956 with 62 career NFL touchdowns because the NFL, you know, like, they acknowledge the AFL stats. Like, those count towards NFL record books, but sure, they don't include the AAFC stats at all, which is, like, bullshit. So most of his career stats are not acknowledged by the NFL.
Yeah.
He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1975, and he lived in Ohio until he passed away in 2009. So RIP to Glue Fingers.
Hell yeah. Well, I forgot to mention about the Mad Stork as well, as he was inducted in the Hall of Fame in 1990. That's the one thing. Did I say that?
Yeah, you said that. Listen, I know you're trying to steal some shine from Glue Fingers, but there's enough glory for everybody here. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in, I don't know, however long the ad takes. Hey, friends of the podcast, guys, gals, they, thems, it's Tony from TH Fantasy here to promote our sponsor, BetterHelp. Did you draft Jonathan Taylor in round one and Kyle Pitts in round two? If so, you may be entitled to a discount on BetterHelp's therapy services. We have experienced fantasy football therapists to best assist you in your mental health journey. I speak from experience. Last year, I drafted A.J. Brown in the second round, Ezekiel Elliott in the third, and then Robert Woods in the fourth over Cooper Kupp. After speaking with one of their board-certified therapists, I managed to find other things to do on Sundays, like seeing my friends and family. I can't recommend BetterHelp enough. Listen, I wouldn't lie to you. It's important to me that you go to our sponsors and you type in the promo code Nathaniel Hackett, all caps, no spaces, for 3% off your first session today. Thanks.
And we're back.
All right, Ryan, we are back. Part two. I want to know, we're post trade deadline, and this was the most bonkers trade deadline I can ever remember.
Yeah, it did set some history, right? They said it was the most in since what season? Long time.
Yeah, it was a really long time.
The most, I can't remember how, 12 or?
It sounds about right.
Something like that. Something, a crazy amount of transactions. We saw McCaffrey completely switch coasts.
Yep.
Like, and go back to his hometown, what he's always wanted, what Aaron Rodgers has tried to do his entire career, but
mm-hmm.
I don't think it'll ever happen. Well, we saw the inner division crazy Hockenson trade.
Yep.
That was crazy.
So I want to go through some of these moves, Ryan, and I want you to tell me if it does anything for you in fantasy.
Okay. Cool. Yeah.
All right. Chase Claypool to the Bears. Does that do anything for you in redraft leagues?
In redraft leagues, I mean, it goes from Kenny Pickett to Justin Fields. I know Justin Fields has been a top 12 quarterback the last like 3-4 weeks.
Top 5.
It's mainly because of his rushing, I think. I mean, he's barely putting up 200 yards. So I guess that is a little bit better if you have Claypool in a redraft league. He's obviously going to be the number one guy now. Yep. Maybe not this week, but the following week, you know, once he's got the playbook under his thumb a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'd, if I had him, you know, obviously I'd really be only playing him in my flex.
Yeah, or a bye week fill in or something.
Yeah, something like that. But okay. I'd like it better than where he was.
Yeah,
with small hands.
All right, Ryan, Nyheim Hines to Buffalo. Does it do anything for you?
No, I think it just makes that backfield even more unfigureoutable. How do we know who's gonna? I mean, yeah, they gave up Zach Moss, so he's kind of gonna maybe take that passing role, which is predominantly what Hines does his entire career. But we're never gonna figure out that backfield, especially when your quarterback rushes for as many yards as your, if not more than your running back sometimes.
Yep.
So I think it's not really anything.
So then the other side of that trade, what do you think about Zach Moss in Indy?
I mean, they liked using that passing back, so I think it's better for Zach Moss owners because he's going to get more exposure now.
I just feel bad if you have Zach Moss on your roster in redraft.
Yeah, I mean that too.
Unless you're in like a 20-team, eight-bench spot league.
Right.
All right. Ryan, Kadarius Toney to Kansas City.
I like that. I don't, what was it? Did he just not get along with the front office in New York?
Like, I don't think we'll ever know for sure.
Yeah. It had to be something internal like that.
Yeah.
For them to just completely dump their second year, like baller wide receiver. I think it's actually pretty cool. It's going to take a few weeks.
Yeah.
For him to get adjusted, especially because it's Andy Reid's offense. There's so much crap you got to learn.
Yep.
So, but I that's one of my better upsides. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I picked him up in redraft. I'm holding this man.
Nice.
All right. Chase Edmonds to Denver.
I mean, it's Denver. So
too low volume.
Yeah. Denver. Yeah. And you got Melvin Gordon, and I know Boone went on the IR. But it's good, and they still have Latavius Murray too. So
yeah,
it's I'm not excited about it.
TJ Hockenson to Minnesota, Ryan.
I really like that one, especially. I mean, Minnesota had to do something with Irv Smith going out. So
again,
yeah, and if anything, Irv Smith wasn't following the hype that he was getting in the beginning of the season.
Nope.
I don't know what was going on there. Maybe he just wasn't getting open. Maybe he wasn't as good as we thought he was. But Hockenson's proven to be great. So I think, especially in that offense, like it's going to help everyone. It's going to help, I think, KJ Osborne a lot too, because he hasn't been really getting a lot. So probably pull some coverage off of him. Jefferson's still getting his stuff. But yeah. I think it's going to open up that offense even more. And one thing I didn't realize until this morning when I was listening to the radio, the Vikings are 6-1. Like,
yep.
They're going to win the NFC North, I think.
Yep.
I didn't even realize. I was like, oh, I was thinking they're 4-4, maybe 5-4. I did not think they only lost one time.
Yep.
So that's, it's good for them because it's going to help them try to win the division. Yeah.
All right. Last one, Jeff Wilson to Miami.
I don't know, man. I think, you know, McDaniels is getting pretty surprised by what his rushers have been able to do this year, because going into the year, when we looked at those running backs that were on those rosters, it was just piss. We were like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, and McDaniels is getting surprised, and I think Miami's doing better than they thought they were going to do, and maybe they're going to try and make a playoff push. I'm not too excited about it just because of how much Miami passes, and I'm scared for Miami because it seems like they're trying to still find out who they are, and if they got to go play like Buffalo up in Buffalo for the playoffs, it's over. That's the one thing that's the one thing I don't like about those teams that play in warm cities. They don't know how to play in the cold.
Sure. I will say in our big money league, the league of record, we only have 5 bench spots, and I made it a point to grab Kadarius Toney and Jeff Wilson, because I think if Raheem Mostert goes out, Jeff Wilson's got league winner written all over him.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I forgot about that. Yeah, especially if Mostert goes down. He's injury prone.
I was going to say if.
Yeah.
Speaking of, so I got to ask you, Ryan, do you think there are any league winners still out there on the waiver wire this year?
The only one I could think of right now would probably be Deion Jackson, even though I know he's probably not out there anymore on waiver wires. He probably was last week. But other than that, like the leagues that I'm looking at were like 12 teams. There's just absolute garbage on the waiver wire. Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, I don't think there's really anyone outside of him. I don't know what's going on with Taylor, but Deion Jackson looks like he's gonna, and he looked really good too when two games ago when Taylor was out, he had over 100 yards.
Yeah, he caught like 10 passes or something.
Yeah, he's good.
I think for me, the guy I like most, I think he's this year's Laquan Treadwell, but a little bit better. This year's Josh Reynolds, Zay Jones, is Terrace Marshall.
Yeah, you like him.
Well, I don't know what the problem was. I don't know if he just didn't get along with the Matt Rhule regime, but like the new regime seems to see that he's deserving of these targets and these looks, and like he's been productive the last couple weeks. Like PJ Walker likes him.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a league winner, but I think he's a guy that'll help you win a couple of regular season games by giving you 10 points, 12 points as a bye week fill in. Sure. So he's a guy, and like I'm not going to be on the DFS show this week, but that's a guy I like in DFS as a cheap, you know, spot filler.
Yeah, yeah.
And with that, now that we've talked about cheap spot fillers, Ryan, it's time for your
mid-tier kind of shitty tight end of the week.
Oh, y'all are going to hate me after I go through these three tight ends. I didn't get anything right last week. But
double down.
But let's talk about some tight ends who might score some touchdowns this week. That may be their only pass.
Okay.
But I'm thinking they might get touchdowns.
Hey, by the way, you were 1 week early on Jake Ferguson, but you were there, man.
I know. I think I flip-flopped the Ferguson Hendershot touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Because Hendershot scored one. Yeah. So this week, all right, Seattle's got Disley. Seattle's got Fant. But guess who's scoring a touchdown from Geno Smith this week?
Oh, God.
Mr. Colby Parkinson. Mr. Parkinson's disease himself.
Oh, no. Oh no.
Colby it's gonna be so bad, and every Disley owner and every Fant owner is gonna crap themselves, but I'm calling it. You heard it right here, Mr. Colby Parkinson.
I love that.
Also, like we were talking earlier, Hockenson might not play this a lot this week. Guess who scored a touchdown last week? Mr. Johnny Munt.
The Munt cake.
I think he's going he's going streaking. All right. He's going streaking. 2 weeks in a row. We're calling a touchdown.
Damn. Twice as nice.
Yeah. And my last potential touchdown for this week. Everyone's in love with Gesicki, but guess who's going to snake a touchdown from Gesicki this week? Mr. Dylan Smythe.
What? You're going Smythe?
Yep.
Okay. Once again, I can see it.
Yeah.
Bears safeties love to bite on play action near the red zone. That's a thing they do really well.
And these guys, so I guess this was not even like mid-tier kind of shitty. This is shitty. This is Ryan's shitty-ass tight ends of the week that will score touchdowns.
Hell yeah. I'm going to put the octave shift on your voice when you said that there too, because it would be pretty cool sounding. All right. Okay. So, it is time for the Jamal Agnew line play of the week. Jamal Agnew on FanDuel this week, my friend. 4,800. Not great.
Oh my God, he's that low now?
Yeah. So, I had to go pretty deep here. And it's funny, but I found a guy that was $200 cheaper than Jamal Agnew's FanDuel price. So, I have a guy for the princely sum, $4,600 on FanDuel. He also scored a touchdown last week. He's also a guy that's on a, I'm not sure what the metric equivalent is, but a shit ton of my fantasy dynasty taxi squads. My Jamal Agnew line play of the week is Green Bay wide receiver Samari Toure.
Oh my God. Really?
All right. If you are curious, my friends, on this podcast, feel free to go back to our team previews for the Green Bay Packers, where I say, be on the lookout for Samari Toure.
Yeah, he did get a touchdown last week. That's right.
Yep. He's a guy that I was high on as a guy that could make use of a shitty depth chart to get some looks. And like I said, yeah, he scored. Christian Watson's injured. Dubs does not catch passes enough. And Cobb is still on IR. I think they're playing Detroit. It's going to be a shootout. Detroit plays man. Rodgers crushes man coverage. Samari Toure has had some good snaps here the last couple weeks. He's a possession and deep threat guy. I think it's a smash spot. I expect him to score. And I think there's a chance he's a guy that some fantasy writers are saying you need to pick up for your bench next week.
Interesting.
Samari Toure.
I like it.
That's some fucking degenerate shit right there. All right.
All right. You want to make a super flex lineup?
It's time to party. I'm researched up. I'm ready to go. We will make a super flex lineup for you here. Guaranteed to cash. Not actually guaranteed to cash, but guaranteed to cash. Do we do our usual $5, $357 super spike?
What, the $5 single entry? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And 60% of the time we cash all the time. So
100% of the times it's 60% correct.
Right.
All right. So who are you stacking this week, Ryan? I haven't had a chance to look at your sheet.
I haven't really had a chance to look at the Superflex lineups either.
But I'll tell you who I like a lot this week. I think this is a week where we pair an expensive high-end guy with a quarterback that's a little bit cheaper.
What's cheap for you?
So the cheaper quarterbacks on this slate that I like a lot are Geno Smith at 8,500, Justin Fields at 8,400, and Aaron Rodgers at 8,000.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. Okay.
So the reason why I want to say Rodgers, and if we get Rodgers, I would actually, instead of Samari Toure, I would want to stack him because you only have two wide receivers, you know?
Yeah.
So the
Dubs?
Well, I was thinking you'd stack him with Tonyan. Because Detroit is the worst defense in the league against defending the tight ends.
At tight end, though, I was kind of leading more towards Everett. Just because Herbert's not going to have anyone to pass to. He's got Josh Palmer and then Scrubs.
So what do you think about pairing Aaron Rodgers with Aaron Jones and putting Everett in the tight end slot?
Because, I mean, Atlanta's defense is shit, too.
It is.
So, okay.
It is.
I'll put Rodgers in.
Okay.
And we'll pair him with Jones.
Yeah, what do you think about that? You like that?
Sure. He'll get some passes. Hopefully a couple passing touchdowns.
It's Detroit, too.
Right. Does that mean we do Allen?
Who?
Does that mean we do Josh Allen as our other?
Well, we can do Josh Allen. I like Mahomes a lot this week.
True.
I like Tua a lot this week, and I like Herbert a lot this week.
Ah, shit. Do we go Mahomes or Allen?
I think we go Mahomes.
Let's do it.
All right, famous last words, I guess.
Do we do Schuster?
Yeah, you know what? I like Juju.
Or wait. I forgot. Yeah, we got to do Kelsey.
Well, if we do Juju, then we can do Everett.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay.
Got any other running backs you like a lot this week, Ryan?
I mean, we could always piggyback it and go ham on Derrick Henry. But I do like Walker.
I like Walker a lot, too.
That's actually pretty spicy.
I like Walker. I like ETN a lot too.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, what if we did? Hang on. Let me see. If we put in Walker as the second running back,
we get ETN in our flex. If we put in Walker,
that would leave us 5,800 for our last receiver, which I think we can do.
We could definitely find someone. Okay, so put in Walker. Put in ETN at the flex.
What do you think about Mac Holland, Ryan?
Is he back? Is he playing this week?
Yep.
I don't like Wilson against Buffalo.
I also feel like Curtis Samuel's like tapered off quite a bit.
What about Drake London or Traquan Thornton?
See, the problem with London is he only has 10 targets over the last three games.
Yeah.
And but
they are playing the shitty Chargers pass defense, though.
But they were playing the shitty Panthers pass defense last week. And, like,
that's true.
Damir Bird caught a giant touchdown pass. Everyone but London produced last week. To me, it's Curtis Collins.
What about Curtis Samuel?
What do you think? How do you think he does against Minnesota? Minnesota gives up a lot of points to receivers.
A lot of points to the pass, yeah.
I can do Samuel. We can do Samuel.
Yeah, let's do Samuel.
Hell yeah. All right, so then.
So we got $200 left. Do we want to use it anywhere? I don't think so.
No, because we were intentional with who we got. We got guys we like. So that means our super flex is Ryan. Who do we got?
Our $5 single entry superflex. We're pairing Mahomes with Smith-Schuster. We're pairing Rodgers with Aaron Jones. We got Kenneth Walker. We got Curtis Samuel. We got Gerald Everett. And we got Travis Etienne Jr.
This is going to be a fun one. All right. I like it. Yeah. Great job, Ryan. Great episode.
Yeah, very good.
Thanks for meeting up on a Friday night and getting this done and having a good time. And Ryan's going to be on DFS for Cheapskates tomorrow. And
yeah, check us out tomorrow at noon Central Time.
Going to Gambletown. Next week, we'll hit you with episode 57. Man, these episodes are just flying by.
I know. Yep.
So, yeah, that's it for us. And hopefully we talk soon. And
any hot takes for this week?
All right, you ready?
I'm ready. Shoot me.
Trevor Lawrence, top three quarterback in fantasy this week.
Oh, sexy. I love it.
There you go.
You know me. I love me some Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
I love that bold prediction.
What do you got?
Let's see here. I think I did most of my bold predicting with the tight ends, but
yeah, it was bold.
Maybe a Detroit upset against Green Bay. Maybe.
Hey, I on the article I wrote for Football Absurdity website, my upset play of the week was the Lions money line.
I did take the Lions in confidence pool, but it was low points. But it was right, mainly to be contrarian. But
yeah. Yeah, you got to be contrarian. And yep. So we are going to head out. You're great. Thanks for sticking around for Ryan and Tony and for Craig.
Yeah,
Craig.
That was episode 56. 56. Good night, everyone.
Yeah, have a good luck on your games this weekend. Go win. Go win it.
Go team.
Good night, team.